They're back! The Lunatics of Davos to meet this week in Switzerland to save the world. New legislation that would classify half the country as a hate group. Plus, Dr. Ted makes the global health dictatorship official, while Cackle and Cammy denounces pro-life America. And finally, a message from Zoe, a little girl whose short life may be the most powerful sermon you have ever heard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt. This is the Remnant Underground. We've got some good news tonight. The Lunatics of Davos are having their big powwow over in Switzerland this weekend, starts today. So all of our troubles, in other words, are going to turn to sort of transhumanist bubbles, evidently. They've got 50 heads of state. They've got Swiss military aircraft overhead. Klaus is really putting on a show. And basically, they're telling us that they are now going to save the world in the post-pandemic period, even though there's another pandemic upon us now with the monkeypox business. So I'm not sure what it all means. Yep, we're just going to keep an eye on it, of course. I think it's going to be more of the same. But more importantly, we have noticed that evidently Field Marshal Schwab has got himself a new speaking coach. Check this out.
At this pivotal moment, I see several priorities for the global agenda. We must continue to fight against the global pandemic. We must revitalize the global economy and accelerate its transition to net zero.
Isn't that great? I mean, I think that's great. I like Schwab. I always have thought he had an impressive delivery. But I think just adding that transhumanist robotic arm thing is very, very helpful. And I would think that it would probably make him a little bit more relevant to the youngsters of the world.
I
think so. Now, this is crazy, friends. This is so crazy. You know, the old nuns in Catholic school, grade school, 100 years ago when I was in school, they used to teach us in catechism class, they used to say that sin, like habitual sin, actually darkens the intellect, and it eventually transforms us all into morons if left unrepented. And I would suppose that the sisters, the good sisters of the old days, would have settled for the word lunatics, and that is exactly what we're dealing with here, these lunatics of Davos. Not to minimize their influence in the world, because they have harnessed evil, but it is interesting how they're exposing themselves too. You know, now they actually come right out with the fact that they have a God complex.
Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods.
That is essentially what the snake whispered in the ear of Mother Eve back in the garden, that she will be like God if she eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? It's astounding how identifiable they are, how transparent they are now. And again, how crazy they are, even the ones that have been around for a while. I happen to think that, you know, the conservative Republican George W. Bush kind of got this whole great reset started when he went around the world enforcing democracy at the point of a gun, blowing the hell out of countries and whatnot. Well, even he's still banging around out there. And finally, just the other day, you've probably seen this sort of amusing, ironic clip. He's admitting what we were saying in the pages of the Remnant newspaper 20 years ago. Here's W.
And the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq.
I'm sorry. What was that, George?
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, anyway.
It doesn't even matter. You know, it's just, it's all casual. You know, you got the current leader of the free world, who's 113 or whatever he is now. He's out there saying that he has been outfitting Russia with Javelin missiles for years.
Before Russia attacked, we made sure Russia had javelins and other weapons to strengthen the defenses so Ukraine was ready for whatever happened.
Yeah, I don't know which is crazier, Team Biden or Team Bergoglio at this point, but over in the Vatican. But as far as Team Biden is concerned, I think we're to the point where the only one on their team that makes any sense at all is this gal. Yeah. Well, seriously, right? I mean, if you were Joe Biden's VP, what would you do? Would you have profound things to say? Would you somehow be able to do damage control on a daily or an hourly basis with this cat? Or would you spend your day just... just cracking up laughing. What else are you going to do?
Straight up broken.
Yeah. Broker. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But that's where we're at. And I'm saying this, pointing this out, because we go back to that theme that we come back almost like a mantra, we come back to it, that we have to keep everything in perspective. These people are not ultimately going to pull this off. You know they're not going to. It's bad, it's dark, it's horrible. Everything right now is not, it's not fun. But look at these people. They're not formidable adversaries. They're lunatics running the asylum. Eventually, it's going to burn down. It really is with these guys. They're not even trying to be persuasive anymore. They're really not even engaging in all that much panic porn. They're just going full-on Nurse Ratched now. Because there are just too many Ron DeSantis's, too many Rand Paul's. Now we got Archbishop Corleone shutting down Nancy Pelosi's trip up to the communion rail every week. Fantastic. God bless you. You're excellent. There's too much of that going on. It's getting in the way of this program. And they know it. They're running out of time. So they're resorting to brute force. Now it's a medical dictatorship they want, where Big Brother is going to save us all from... what's left of COVID. I just saw the other day there's some new variants, COVID variants out now in Minneapolis. And the Star Tribune is freaking out because in South Africa, this new variant is spreading among the vaccinated. It's particularly virulent among the vaccinated of South Africa. And yet, they're going to start vaccinating five-year-olds. Like, it's just completely insane. It's nuts. So this is what they're doing now. We're going to have to turn everything over to the World Health Organization, including our national sovereignty, and it's going to look something like this.
As you know, there have been several reviews of the global response to the pandemic with many recommendations for strengthening global health security. They all recognize the need for better systems and tools, better financing, including for global public goods such as vaccines, better global governance, and a stronger, empowered, and sustainably financed WHO. To connect and underpin these ideas, I believe the time is right for an international treaty.
But even that's not going to be enough, this thing with the World Health Organization, it's not going to be enough. Why? Because too many of us are not going to do this again. And they know it. We're really, really done with it. It's not going to happen again. And so, time for the folks from the government who are here to help to initiate Operation Domestic Terrorism. That's next. And of course, this too. For 10, 15 years, we've been predicting the rise of the Gestapo. Well, here it comes. The House just passed legislation this week that will create domestic terrorism offices across 3 federal agencies to prevent homegrown violent incidents like the one that happened in Buffalo last week. Well, at least some of those violent incidents, not all of them. Because, like, for example, here in sleepy St. Paul, 3 people now were shot in 24 hours, a 24-hour period yesterday.
Still an active scene here. We're at 5th and Cedar as Metro Transit Police investigate the 3rd deadly shooting in the city within just the past 6 hours.
Did you hear anything about that? Bet you didn't. And that's because the shooters here in St. Paul had the wrong skin color, you see, because we're so progressive here. Wrong skin color doesn't happen. There's no potential for a national story, much less a legislation in Congress. Whereas the mentally handicapped nut job in Buffalo, well, you see, now he was white. That makes all the difference in the world. So now if this thing passes in the Senate, and Mr. Turtleman here is going to most likely do his utmost to see that it does, anyone who criticizes, well, I don't know, $40 billion being sent to Ukraine, God knows where we're getting that money from, but that's what they're doing here, they want to do. Or if you criticize... you know, the monkeypox panic porn is probably going to be coming by midsummer. Or if you criticize old Uncle Potts over here losing his noodle, well, you're going to be considered a domestic terrorist, or they can certainly classify you as such. And so you say, well, would that include even people like Tucker Carlson? Well, duh, yeah. He's had a target on him for a while, of course. How about us here at Remnant TV? Well, of course. Domestic terror, of course. Again, I was writing about this back in 2007 when the Southern Poverty Law Center put us on their hate map, the Remnant hate map. And I said at the time, this was preparation for just this kind of Gestapo legislation that we see being pushed through right now in the wake of Buffalo. You see, it's been planned for a long time. It doesn't matter that this is what happens to the folks that the SPLC puts on their hate map.
We can stand together against hate.
The center also calls the Family Research Council a hate group.
The definition of a marriage is what it's been for 5,000 years. It's the union of a man and a woman.
I often disagree with the council myself. But do they belong on this hate map?
When they don't agree with you politically, they're going to list you as a hater.
But once you're labeled a hate group, you become a target.
Developing now, word of a shooting at the Family Research Council there in Washington.
One man was so enraged by what the center said about the Family Research Council, he went to their headquarters to kill people.
A man shot a security guard in the arm.
Fortunately, that guard stopped the man before he could shoot anyone else.
He told the judge that he was there to kill as many of us as possible because we were a hate group.
The council's offices were attacked by a guy with a gun. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't deserve this.
There's always extremists out there.
Yeah, when it's violence against pro-life Christian groups, well, stuff happens. What are you gonna do? They're just trying to keep everybody safe by putting, you know, pro-life groups like that on a hate map. I'm trying to keep everybody safe from domestic terrorism, don't you know? And now these same lefty lunatics want to designate half the country as a hate group.
This bill, or a bill substantially like it, has come up before, and it enjoyed substantial bipartisan support. And now that has changed. Why is that? It is because it has become evident that the majority seeks, for political reasons, to conflate the extraordinarily serious issue of domestic terrorism with half of the country, with their political opposition.
And now don't forget, these are the same folks that want the FBI to round up you, moms and dads, parents all across this country, who don't really like it when their children are sexually groomed in the classroom.
I just want to read from the title of the bill. H.R. 350, 117th Congress, second session, to authorize dedicated domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to analyze and monitor domestic terrorist activity and require the federal government to take steps to prevent terrorism. Well, we already know what this looks like. We've already seen this happen. The Department of Justice went after parents who showed up at school board meetings to voice concerns about what was happening in their child's school.
Thank God for guys like Jim Jordan. These guys are trying to do their best to stop it. But what are we looking at if all of this passes into law other than a police state? Because they don't actually believe that parents are terrorists. I mean, you know that, right? They don't actually believe any of this. The truth has nothing to do with this. They just want to shut up their opposition. They don't actually believe that America is teeming with domestic white terrorists, white supremacist terrorists, right? They don't actually really think the white hooded Klans guys thing is still happening, like some goofy Kiefer Sutherland movie. That's not happening. They don't believe that it is. They're just telling scary stories. They're just setting up a narrative for the watchers of The View, whose sons think that pro wrestling is real. So we're doing here. It's the only people who would buy this stuff. But the problem is when people begin to figure it out, as millions have, as is evidence, we keep talking about evidence by Joe Rogan and Elon Musk and Bill Maher and so many mainstream leftist folks, or, you know, left-leaning folks, just call them foul on this. This is crazy. They're not buying it. So it's not just us. Lots of folks are not buying it anymore. Lots of folks are saying, hang on just a cotton picking second here. What's going on? And when that happens...
Wonderful! Wonderful!
This woman's door was kicked in by police when she refused to go to quarantine. Others in Shanghai smashed rotten vegetables in the street and performed so-called concerts with their pots and pans to express their frustration after weeks of life under lockdown in China's most populous city and economic capital.
This is not going to stop until enough of us do this.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We're simply not going to take this anymore either.
Really? A worldwide synod? Yes, this is the way God works. As Pope Francis says, he's the God of surprises.
And you know how embarrassing it is to have to admit that he's one of ours? I'm sorry, Father, but you're embarrassing. You got to start acting like a priest. This dude's a canon lawyer. What has happened to the Catholic Church that we went from Fulton Sheen to this guy?
Am I making something up? That's not what the church is about, a community of spiritual friends. Actually, my friends, it is.
He looks and sounds more like Richard Simmons.
Now double here, that's it. You're doing fantastic.
And the thing is, well, old Father Richard Simmons there prattles on, you know, with his synodal Jazzerus eyes. Woohoo, watch the hands. The world is blowing up. Teen suicide rates skyrocketing. Kids are killing each other in the streets, killing each other in the classroom. We've got real problems here, Father Simmons. Real problems. And at the same time that you're doing the jazz hands about synodality, all the leaders of the free world are dismantling our society. Faith, law, order in our society being destroyed. They're out there demanding the slaughter of babies by the millions.
We gathered today to talk about Roe v. Wade. Earlier this month, we learned that the United States Supreme Court is poised to strike down Roe. So this, when and if it happens, will be an extreme step backward. And it represents a threat, not just to women, but to all Americans.
This heinous woman, this harpy, is talking about the slaughter of babies, killing babies. Do you see how calm she is? She's perfectly fine with it, right? A person who speaks like this has no conscience. No compassion, no empathy. In other words, we're looking at a sociopath. Sociopaths running the most powerful country in the world. And while that's going on, again, Father Richard Simmons is out there doing this.
This is why Pope Francis is like, this synodal consultation is to be an experience of like, what are we dreaming? What's our hopes? Where have we been dashed?
Again, it's easy to make fun of, but that's not the point. It's mortifying. It's so embarrassing. The Church of Accompaniment is off on a 2-year tour of Sesame Street, utterly oblivious to what's going on in the real world.
The right to privacy that forms the basis of Roe is the same right to privacy that protects the right to use contraception and the right to marry the person you love, including a person of the same sex. Overturning Roe opens the door to restricting those rights.
When you listen to something like that, you think about it from the baby's perspective. It's so sick. Sometimes we've talked about this. We worry that you just get so used to abortion, there's nothing you can do about it. But my gosh, as long as this is continuing, as long as this war against the unborn is continuing, do we even deserve to be saved?
Just half an hour ago, in Oklahoma, the state legislature passed one of the most extreme abortion bans in the country. A ban that would outlaw abortion from the moment of fertilization. Now think about that for a second. from the moment of fertilization. It's outrageous, and it's just the latest in a series of extreme laws around the country. Several of the medical professionals joining us today are seeing the impact of these laws that are designed to punish and control women.
There's never been anything like this in the history of the world, has there? And imagine for just a moment, you know, this dumbed down Madame Defarge just condemned to death you know, your mom, your dad, your kids, your entire family, your town, right? Condemned to be dismembered and sucked through a tube into a trash can. Imagine that for a minute. And in your fear and your desperation, you're looking for help. You're terrified of what's happening to you. You turn to your Catholic priest, the pastor who's supposed to be protecting the sheep, right? You turn to him for help. And this is what you get.
Yes, this is the way God works. As Pope Francis says, he's a God of surprises. And
God help us. Wouldn't it be great if Pope Francis, you know, the super compassionate, humble Pope, wouldn't it be great if he were to initiate a 2-year synodal plan to end abortion? Wouldn't it be something? You see, that's not going to happen. Francis is too busy listening to Nancy Pelosi so he can set up his synodal church based on what lunatics like Nancy are saying is missing still from her church experience. So it begins to seem like we're on our own, doesn't it? But we're not on our own. I know it seems dark, but we're not on our own. Because God is in our camp. And the more we see of this evil and this lunacy, the more we turn back to him, and that's the point. And that's what's happening all across the world. And I would like to close this show tonight with a message, if you will, a message from heaven, delivered by a little traditional Catholic girl named Zoe. Now, I'll just premise it by saying that Zoe was born into one of these families that Francis right now is trying to cancel with Traditionis Custodes, trying to make them not be able to go to Mass, not be able to take their children to Mass, the Latin Mass anymore. Cancel them because he says they don't appreciate Vatican II enough. He says they're divisive. He says they're rigid. And I'd like to know what you think of that, especially those of you who are not traditional Catholics. I would like to close the show tonight by showing you what those rigid, horrible, Pharisaical people look like. And so I invite you to watch this. Let's watch it together so we have a better understanding of exactly who the enemies of the Vatican are versus the enemies of our children. Let's watch.
My name is Zoe Catherine Bars. I was born on July 16th, 2021 at 7:28 a.m. When my mom was 23 weeks pregnant, she found out that I had trisomy 18. It means I would be very small, and I might not live very long. It wasn't even sure I would be born at all. My parents were heartbroken, especially my mom, who now knew that I might not make it to birth. Even after the bad news, they had hope and prayed very hard. My mother is the strongest person I know. She kept me safe and fed me for over 38 weeks. She loved me and kept me hoping for the best. Soon came the day that I was to be welcomed into the world. In the delivery room, the first person I met after my parents was Canon Huberfeld, our priest. He quickly baptized me and confirmed me and welcomed me into the church. I couldn't breathe very well. The doctors worked quickly to put me on oxygen so I could breathe. Even though they weren't sure what would happen, they knew I would be okay, and I would go to heaven if I should die. My new sister-in-law, Anne, stayed with my parents all day. She's a nurse, so she's really smart. She made sure my parents knew that the doctors were really doing everything they could for me, because she knows all about doctors and that sort of thing. She also took pictures of everything. She even got pictures of my funny little toes. My mom likes looking at the pictures Anne took of me all the time. I like watching over her as she looks at me. I got to meet my whole family that day. I got to meet all my older brothers. I have a lot of them. My brother Cole picked my confirmation name, Angelica. He liked it because it reminded him of the angels, and I'm just like one now. I really like it too. I got to meet my big sister, Olivia. I wish I could have spent more time with her and could have learned to be like her. My big brothers, Adam and Ryan, seem pretty cool. I would have liked to learn to be cool like them. My bigger brothers, Benjamin and Lewis, are really funny. In fact, my whole family is funny and knows how to make me smile even in times of sadness. Seriously, my siblings are such goofballs. I don't think they can ever be serious. My grandparents were even there. I thought that was really cool that I got to meet them too. I know now that they prayed very hard for me and Mom. It was hard for my family to understand that even though I looked perfect on the outside, not everything was perfect on the inside. I got to spend 11 hours with my family, and then suddenly, God told me my short visit had come to an end. My parents are so lucky to have so many people that love them so dearly. People from all over came to support them. It looked like the entire church came to the funeral. Canon Huberfeld gave a really cool speech about me. He said that everything happens because God wills it. And he said that it was God's will that I be a saint to watch over my family from heaven. I now know that I'm not meant to live down there. God made me to be with him in heaven. Still, I wish I could have been with them longer. Long enough to laugh with them, get to know them, long enough to give them a hug until I can't let go. Now that I'm no longer on earth, I can help everyone from up here in heaven. If you could only see what I see. I wish you were here too, Mom. Someday God will call you home and I'll be waiting for you here. In the meantime, I'll be up here praying for everyone. That's why I'm here after all. To be your little Saint Zoe.
Davos have nothing. They have nothing they can compare with what we just saw. Nothing even comes close. And it's capable, that faith, of conquering even death itself, friends. Now look at the faces of Zoe's mom and dad as they buried their little daughter. They're not afraid. They're not despairing. Because they, like us, they know there's something else. There's something afterwards. There's something that comes later, after death. It makes death not so very frightful. Zoe's life mattered. It mattered that Zoe got to live for just a few hours. It matters because now she is with God. And we all share in Zoe's victory. She's one of ours. Let me tell you this, friends. With little angels like that on our side, the demons of Davos don't have a dog's chance in hell for pulling this thing off. We must believe that. We do believe that. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Little Saint Zoe, pray for us. And we'll see you all next week.